acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 36, Let Us Pray. Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yin Hu Cha Yuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. You can also find me on Ravelry, Instagram, and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. This week I found a new review on iTunes from Juju Maya Zoe. This review was left on January 5th, but it was on the Canadian iTunes site, and I just figured out how to check other countries' iTunes to see if there are reviews. So thank you so much for that review. Thanks also to Halcyon, RMH258, and Swensty for sending me poems during April, National Poetry Month, and I will be sharing one at the end of this podcast that was suggested to me this week. This episode includes the following segments: Off the Shelf, Ever Expanding Skill Set, Yarn Lover at Large, and Double Happiness. I hope you enjoy the show. Off the Shelf. This week, I'd like to recommend a cookbook by Deborah Madison. It's titled Vegetable Literacy, although it isn't her only cookbook. But this is the one I found a few weeks ago when our library had an open house and teachers and other staff members were invited to come up to the library for bagels and coffee and peruse the collection, especially new books. And this is something I had seen in a display and I'd wondered about, but I never stopped in to pick it up. So it was my perfect opportunity to ask the librarian about it, and it was available. I brought it home, and I've been looking over it and cooking from it ever since. And I'll talk a little bit about a few of the recipes that interest me and one that I cooked this week. Deborah Madison was interested in a different kind of cookbook that wasn't organized by the type of course, such as appetizers, soups, entrees, desserts, and so on. She wanted to organize a vegetarian cookbook by type of plant, and so she organized it by plant family. She talks about this in great detail on this week's episode of Good Food, which is a cooking and food-related podcast from KCRW in Santa Monica. I was listening to the most recent episode on my walk, and I couldn't believe that Deborah Madison was the person being interviewed, and she talks about her approach to this text. For example, if you're familiar with a number of plants and vegetables, you can probably visualize the similarities between things like anise, caraway, carrots, celery, chervil, cilantro, cumin, dill, fennel, parsley, Queen Anne's lace, wild carrot. They all have this umbrella-shaped curve to the flowering part of the plant, and they're known as umbellifers. So instead of thinking about carrots and other root vegetables, carrots are grouped with the umbellifer family in this portion of the cookbook. It's really interesting. A couple of the dishes that appeal to me but that I have not tried yet are what looks like a fantastic recipe for a carrot cake, carrot almond cake with ricotta cream. That sounds absolutely delicious. The recipe that I tried this week was for, of course, a rice dish because I've been cooking My bulk bins cook along, and I found rice with spinach, lemon, feta, and pistachios. I had a variety of kinds of rice left over from my bulk bins cook along this month, so I cooked up basmati rice as well as Madagascar pink rice and I think one other kind. I cooked them in a ham stock, and I used some bits of leftover ham also in the dish. Samuel and I are not vegetarian. We will often eat meals composed completely of vegetables, but I like to take vegetarian recipes and add just a bit of meat to them. Meat does not need to take a leading role in our meals. Sometimes I like to use meats to just do a little bit of flavoring, especially things like ham and bacon, where you only need a little bit to boost the flavor quite a lot. Another addition to this dish, or I guess variation, was the feta that I used was a gift from my sister who lives in Vermont, and she had given us a number of different kinds of cheeses at Christmas time, and we couldn't eat them all, and I don't like them to get moldy in the refrigerator. So I put a couple of the harder cheeses in the freezer, and one that I saved was a smoked feta from Bennington, Vermont, I think. It was really delicious in this dish and added a great deal of depth of flavor and complemented the ham very nicely. And the lemon just lifts everything beautifully. And this was a fantastic meal because we expanded our skill set this week with a little bit of gardening on the weekend. I have been cleaning up all of the perennial beds, and that was nearly completed. So we took a little trip to the market basket where we buy plants for potting. I typically have an herb garden that I put out in large pots on our steps each summertime in a place where they have the most chance of getting sun. And there weren't too many herbs out this early in the season. Usually around Mother's Day is when we do our shopping, but they did have quite a few lettuce plants. So Samuel and I used an old trough with a handle that I inherited, I guess is the word to use, from my grandparents' farm. I think at one time this had served as an animal trough, and then it was turned into a work bin that you could just throw a bunch of tools in and carry things around. So we drilled holes into the bottom of it, and we used it to plant our lettuce with some nice drainage in bottom. And then we suspended it from our porch railing. This is so that it can stay out of the way of critters, and it also has the best chance of catching sunlight. I have these wild fantasies of reaching over the porch railing all summer long and picking lettuce to enjoy on sandwiches and in salads. Let's hope that the squirrels don't find this lettuce and just destroy it. They don't really eat it, but the squirrels here in eastern Pennsylvania can just be overbearing and obnoxious. And it seems like whatever my favorite potted plant or herb is, they find their way into it and just dig it out until all the dirt is all over the ground and the plant is dying. With any luck, they will steer clear of the lettuce and we will be able to enjoy some lettuce that we grow ourselves. This is very exciting because vegetables are not something that we have grown here in the woods at Yinhu in the past. Just a reminder to those interested in the bulk bins cook along. In May, we will put amaranth in the spotlight and be trying a number of dishes with that ingredient. This is something new to me. I'm very excited to cook with it and to do some baking with it as well as more traditional applications. A lot of the recipes I've been reviewing for amaranth are gluten-free recipes or can be adapted to be gluten-free recipes. So if that is something that's a consideration in your diet, amaranth could be a great experiment for you to try. Yarn lover at large. This Saturday, I will be traveling to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival for my very first time. Like with my trip to Rhinebeck, I am taking a coach, bus. I think this is actually a luxury van that I'm taking. In any case, I don't have the time to devote an entire weekend to the festival, and it is very relaxing to me to let someone else do the driving. So I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'm obsessively checking the forecast for West Friendship, Maryland. And right now it's 66 degrees and sunny as the forecast for Saturday. So I think that will be a really nice day to walk around, and probably people will be happy to wear some of their hand knit items as well, because I imagine in the morning and as the sun goes down and anytime you're in the shade, it could be quite cool. So it seems to me like the perfect spring weather for a sheep and wool festival. I want to thank everyone who has been giving me suggestions. There's a contest that is still running. I will most likely close it on Friday night. And this is a contest for suggestions for my shopping at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. I plan to take very little in the way of spending money because I've made some other purchases. And as you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, I don't have a great stash of yarn or fiber. I really like to shop, and so I prefer to shop for things as I need them. I've made some recent purchases, and I have some additional ones planned for the summertime. So my primary interest in visiting the festival will be to see what's available from the vendors and to really meet and interact with people at the festival. There's a podcaster meetup at 1:30 on Saturday in the Lower Corral area, and I plan to attend that. And I plan to take some of the suggestions I've been getting on the contest thread. A lot of them have to do with thinking about a special tool. And I would like to buy a tool. I've been thinking about a couple of possibilities. And I've also considered buying some punies or very tightly carded Rolags for spinning on a drop spindle. I do have a drop spindle that's intended to spin quite delicate yarn. And so I was thinking that punies could be fun, and that might be an interesting purchase. If you would like to contribute a suggestion for my Maryland Sheep and Wool shopping, there is still time. And you have a chance of winning a prize that is a project bag from Halsey Yarn Knitting Accessories. This was generously donated by Chris of Halsey Yarn, and it will be given to a randomly selected person who contributes to the contest thread on Ravelry. So join in. Hopefully you will see me at the festival if you are there and you are a listener. I will be wearing a shoulder bag, a kind of a field bag with the Yarns at Yinhu logo on it that Samuel very carefully designed. I'm really excited about wearing this bag. And I will be handing out buttons to anyone who's interested, especially if you are a listener. I would love to say hi. I'd also like to meet some of the other podcasters that will be there, and of course, meeting new friends and meeting the vendors, the people who raise beautiful animals and craft incredible things and put them on sale each year at the festival. It's just something I'm really looking forward to, meeting and talking to people. And so I think keeping my shopping in check will also be a way for me to focus on the people who are at this festival. Double happiness. Well, we're coming to the close of National Poetry Month, April, and I would like to share a poem that I have known for a very long time. Actually, I thought of sharing it earlier in the month, and then RMH258 reminded me of this poem in a post in the last episode thread, and it is Ode to My Socks by Pablo Neruda. This is from Neruda's collection called Odes to Common Things. If you admire the simple and even the homely in life, this is the poetry collection for you. And I particularly recommend translations by Robert Bly. He does a very good job. And this is, I believe, a translation from the Spanish from Robert Bly. Ode to My Socks, Pablo Neruda. Mara Mori brought me a pair of socks, which she knitted herself with her sheepherder's hands. Two socks as soft as rabbits. I slipped my feet into them as if they were two cases knitted with thread of twilight and goat skin. Violent socks, my feet were two fish made of wool, two long sharks, sea blue, shot through by one golden thread. Two immense blackbirds, two cannons, my feet were honored in this way by these heavenly socks. They were so handsome. For the first time, my feet seemed to me unacceptable, like two decrepit firemen, firemen unworthy of that woven fire, those glowing socks. Nevertheless, I resisted the sharp temptation to save them somewhere, as schoolboys keep fireflies, as learned men collect sacred texts. I resisted the mad impulse to put them in a golden cage and each day give them birdseed and pieces of pink melon. Like explorers in the jungle who hand over the very rare green deer to the spit and eat it with remorse, I stretched out my feet and pulled on the magnificent socks and then my shoes. The moral of my ode is this. Beauty is twice beauty, and what is good is doubly good when it is a matter of two socks made of wool in winter.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. Music for today's episode is So Wheat. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider leaving a review or a rating on iTunes. Or you can like the show's Facebook page. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Kurt sings, burn out on wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
something.